What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of the Crossing Routes podcast, fueled by FTN Fantasy. My name is Herms, joined as always by my good friend Tyler O. And guess what? Football is back. Football is back this week. Week one of the NFL season is officially here. In a few days, we are going to have actual regular season professional football on our televisions. And it also means that our fantasy teams are finally going to start scoring points. We're going to get out there and we're going to start competing against our league mates. Now, if you haven't had your draft yet, please definitely go listen to our most recent episode prior to this, talking about, you know, just some final last minute draft tips. But assuming that you've already put your team together, the theme of this episode is just pre-week one waiver wire strategy. We're going to talk through a few of the smart things that you could do to get an edge ahead of week one with your roster. We'll give you a few names of players that you could think about stashing ahead of time in case they go off, and all sorts of other goodies. But before we dive into that and get into the pre-week one nitty-gritty, Tyler, how are you doing?
Herms, I am thriving. It is football season. Caught a couple college games over the weekend. We have actual NFL football this week. Got one more draft left on Wednesday. All the rest are ready to go. My mind is shifting to week one ranks, week one projections. First round of the ranks is up over at FTN. It's been football season, but man, every day it feels more like football season, dude. I'm ready to get into it.
I'm so hyped. And, you know, obviously, everybody out there, if you want to check out Tyler's week one rankings, go ahead, ftnfantasy.com. That's where you're going to find all of that stuff. It's some of the best information you're going to find on the internet for fantasy football. Just make sure you go check that out. But before you get into doing any of that stuff, you should probably hear from the man himself, Mr. Tyler O, what some of the key pieces of strategy are that you can kind of employ to make the most out of your roster ahead of week one. And you know, we were talking a little bit about, you know, before we started airing the things we were going to, you know, discuss here. And you mentioned something very smart about IR spots that I think our listeners are really, really going to want to hear. So could you please expand further on how to best utilize your IR spots ahead of week one?
Certainly, Herms. IR spots. Most leagues got them. If your league does not have an IR spot, you know, maybe skip ahead a couple minutes here. But either way, you should have IR spots. It's ridiculous for a league not to at least have one. I prefer to at least have two. Some leagues I play in almost have like unlimited. Seen it across the board, I think most leagues should at least have two IR spots, in my opinion. But those IR spots aren't doing you any good if you're not filling them. You know, kudos on you if you've drafted a team and every single player is healthy. There's no IR or O next to their name. Great news for you. But there is some opportunity here to have the IR spots work in your favor, right? So we'll be looking at just a roster ship here over at ESPN. Most of the guys that we'll be mentioning today will be sub 50% owned. So maybe he's not available in your league, but guess what? He's available in majority of leagues over at ESPN, major platform. A lot of people play there. So my piece of advice is look at the bottom of your roster, right? There's probably a guy that doesn't need to be there, that doesn't really have much upside. Or perhaps you've drafted a second tight end or a backup quarterback that you don't need. This is what I would do. I would drop that player on the end of my roster, and I would go over to waivers and see who is on IR or see who is out. Right now, Brandon Ayuk right now is rostered in only 40% of leagues. Easy pickup, drop him in IR. Tyjae Spears, he's only rostered in about 39% of leagues. I would pick him up, easily stash him on IR, no problem. And then going a little bit deeper, two other players that I like as IR stashes is Marshawn Lloyd and then Jalen McMillan. I think all of these guys, Ayuk easily, they all have decent upside, and they're an injury away upside once they do become healthy. But those IR spots sitting there empty don't do you any good. Drop the player on the end of your roster. Just in that order, actually, go grab those players off IR, stash them in there, and then pick up another player, preferably like a handcuff running back that nobody has rostered so far. So drop whatever, you know, low upside wide receiver you might have drafted, or backup tight end, or backup quarterback. Fill those IR spots up with those guys that are already out or on IR. And then fill that spot on the actual bench backup with a handcuff running back. This is what I would consider optimal. This is something I do quite frequently. Wanted to kind of put that tip out there for all the listeners as something that you should be doing. It's all about finding those micro edges that make their way to the championship.
Especially because those IR spots are roster spots, and they are things that you can utilize if you think to do it. You know, it is the smartest thing to do to have as many people on your bench, quote unquote, as possible. Because the way that I think about it, and I can tell the way that you think about it too, is that I view the IR spot as another spot on my bench. Whatever the standard, quote unquote, bench spots are, plus whatever those IR spots are. So if you just put players there, wait for them to come back, you're just getting yourself additional shots of players being able to go off that you can either use in your lineups, you know, trade away to other managers to upgrade spots that, you know, maybe you didn't do so well with in your draft. That's a great way to go about it. And hey, if you do land some of those names like Ayuk or Spears and you put them in your IR spot, and hey, that frees up an additional bench spot for a player who is out there and available and healthy. Here are a few names that I think people should definitely be paying attention to and taking a chance on prior to week one. We've got a handful of them, but I'm going to start with the one that I think I'm most passionate about, and that would be Washington Commanders running back Chris Rodriguez Jr., rostered in only 1.9% of ESPN leagues. I know a lot of us are very excited about Jacory Kroski-Merritt, the seventh round rookie that has, you know, made a ton of buzz. Now Brian Robinson's out of town. He's over in San Francisco. This lead opportunity in the Commanders' backfield is an intriguing one. We are pretty sure Austin Eckler is going to have a change of pace role, but somebody's going to take sort of like those committee, like 1A type snaps. And we hope it's Jacory Kroski-Merritt. I hope it's Jacory Kroski-Merritt because that would be super fun. But that's not a guarantee. And Chris Rodriguez, who has been with this team for a while, showed pretty impressive stuff during the preseason as well, and hasn't really given a reason for us to assume that he doesn't have a chance to end up with a role in this backfield. So I think a lot of people are just like over leveraging their confidence with the rookie Bill and kind of just ignoring the possibility of Chris Rodriguez. Now, throughout the course of his career, I will remind people, hasn't really been much of a pass catcher. He's not going to do a ton for you extra point scoring wise in like PPR formats or anything. But hey, if you're getting an early downs role in what should be one of the NFL's better offenses, why wouldn't you be interested in a player that has a shot to do that? The 1.9 rostership just does not make any sense to me. So for that reason, that is why I have Chris Rodriguez as my number one target that people should just go out and stash ahead of week one. You got any thoughts on that?
I do like it a lot, Herms. I think this is what we talk about, getting out there ahead of the waiver wire, right? That's what's going to be one of the more important things, is you don't want to have to spend 50, 60% of your fab or blow an early waiver wire slot if you still do that. If push comes to shove here, rubber meets the road, and the Commanders are splitting between Bill and Chris Rodriguez. It's not the craziest thing I've ever heard of. And I think this is an example where you have a very ambiguous backfield. The Commanders have shown that they do have some interest, and actually a decent amount of interest, in Chris Rodriguez. And there's a lot of players out there that I think people are rostering over Chris Rodriguez. It doesn't make any sense. Like, for example, like Cedric Tillman, Rashad Bateman. These are two guys I don't see a ton of upside on. Even like Justice Hill. He's not going to come in if something happens to Derrick Henry. They're Pat Freiermuth. Respect Pat Freiermuth. Not his fault. Great tight end. But like these are players that I don't think are going to give you much upside. So why are they on your rosters? Go out there, drop players like that, and get somebody with some upside. And sure, after week one, Chris Rodriguez is a complete dud, doesn't play. It's all Bill. That's fine. Drop him. But he's definitely a player that we want to be targeting in this ambiguous backfield, because you don't really know how things are going to shake out. And we definitely want to be targeting running backs in ambiguous backfields where we know the offense is going to be good. So love that call, Herbs.
Yeah, you know, and I think our next player on this list somewhat fits that mold. I think the offense he belongs to does have a little bit, you know, a larger number of question marks. But the rookie Ollie Gordon with the Miami Dolphins, I think, is somebody that people really have to be considering more, especially as it's looking very likely that Jalen Wright, you know, with his leg injury, I think either is going to have surgery or has already had surgery. I don't remember exactly what, but he's probably not going to be out there for a while. So after Devon Achane, this backfield is kind of wide open. Beyond Ollie Gordon and, well, obviously Achane, they signed Jeff Wilson to the practice squad. They signed my boy Jamichael Hasty to the practice squad down there in Miami. You know, like, interesting names, I guess, but nobody that we're particularly worried about threatening for touches. But like, there is an opportunity potentially for a role for Ollie Gordon, particularly as he is a guy 6'1", over 220 pounds, definitely a very different sort of skill set two Devin Achans, very complimentary, could be very good for this Miami offense if they choose to deploy a little bit more of a committee, as they have in the past under Mike McDaniel. Wait, you know, like when it was Jeff Wilson Jr. and Raheem Mostert, you know, these guys splitting these workloads and doing these things. But right now, Ollie Gordon only rostered in 31.3% of leagues. I know he's very popular as a, like a late round dart throw. If you're, you know, already, you know, screaming into, you know, your headphones right now, not in my league, Ollie Gordon's already taken. Great. But you know what? The numbers say that he's still broadly out there. So you have to remedy that mistake if Ollie Gordon is still available on your waiver wire. Is that a name that you think kind of falls into that same category as Chris Rodriguez?
Yeah, I like the name a lot. I mean, Jalen Wright's rostered in 12% and he's probably gonna be out for a while. So I think that in itself is just a good example of why we need to get on top of that. So yeah, he's definitely a name that I've clicked on late in multiple leagues for that same reason. He looks like the bell cow. I mean, his, you know, forgive me, I don't remember if it was junior or senior, but like his, you know, second to last year, Ollie Gordon's second to last year in college, he looked absolutely phenomenal. Things didn't look as good as last year. That's why no one's talking about him. But we know Ollie Gordon is a good running back. We've seen it at the collegiate level. It's just a matter of kind of things have been forgotten since that big breakout that he had. It's either a sophomore or junior year, whatever his second to last year in college was, it was really, really good. So I can sign off on as a prospect just a bit here and knowing that he's going to have that opportunity. Absolutely. I think that's another name people need to be monitoring. So if you're not even going to pick him up, at least like touch that flag or that watch list or whatever it is. He's absolutely a name that we need to be talking about, particularly with a chance calf issues, as he could find himself walking into 15, 20 carries pretty quickly, as I don't think anyone else on that roster is going to be threatening in the short term.
Oh, you're totally right. I actually, it escaped me that Achan is also dealing with an injury right now. So folks, hey, this Miami backfield, there's a pretty interesting piece out there that you should be taking advantage of right now. We have a few more names that we're going to get to that we are very excited to share with you, but we do have to take a quick commercial break. So on the other side, we will get into more names and more, you know, things to keep in mind as you're utilizing your waiver wire ahead of week one of the 2025 fantasy football season. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, hey, it's Herms from FTN's Crossing Routes podcast. Football season is right around the corner, and there's no better way to lock in your fantasy dominance early than with best ball on DraftKings, where you draft once and ride your roster all season long. And right now, DraftKings is giving all customers a can't-miss offer. Draft one, get one. Enter a lineup in the $15 million best ball contest for just $20, and you'll score another best ball ticket to play free for a share of $15 million, giving you a second shot to win big. It's easy. Just draft your team once, no weekly management required, and let your top scorers automatically start each week. Across the whole season, every breakout star, every clutch play, every touchdown will count toward your quest for a share of $15 million. You want to start your draft with Ja'Marr Chase and come back around with Joe Burrow? Get yourself a nice little Bengals stack? You definitely can. You want to try to play the ADP a little bit and scoop some value on rookies? You could definitely build your roster that way. You could do anything you want in this $15 million best ball contest. Download the DraftKings Daily Fantasy app now to draft your $20 best ball lineup to play for a share of $15 million. And get a second ticket to play free for a share of $15 million. That's two chances to win big without ever setting your lineup again. Draft one, get one. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY at 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Void where prohibited. One per customer. Enter the Best Ball $15 million headliner contest by September 4th, 2025 to get one bonus entry. $20 entry fee required. Reward expires in 30 days. See terms at DraftKings.com/NFL-best-ball. Sponsored by DraftKings.
Welcome back to the Crossing Routes podcast, fueled by FTN Fantasy. I'm still Herms. He is still Tyler Rowe. And we are still talking about things that you can do on the waiver wire ahead of week one to get yourself a competitive edge. And we are still talking about some names of players that are out there available in over 50% of ESPN leagues. You need to go out there and remedy that mistake if they are available in your league. And another, you know, sticking with the rookie running back theme, Bashal Tuten, 38.3% rostership. We've talked about the Jaguars backfield multiple times throughout this offseason. I think it's I would hope, you know, listeners to the show are pretty well aware of the fact that we do like Tootin, the rookie out of Virginia Tech, the fastest running back at the NFL Combine this past year. And he, the one that really serves, I think, the most, what's the word I'm looking for? The most different skill set of anybody in that backfield. Because I think Travis Etienne and Tank Bigsby are very similar from like an archetypal standpoint. Yes. Whereas like Tootin just being like the smaller, speedier, he could hit those home run plays. It makes sense that a role for him would emerge later on, just based off of, you know, kind of how I anticipate new head coach, former Bucs offensive coordinator Liam Cohen would probably want to run this offense. Now, there's a lot of assumption that we're doing on our part, but, you know, if you listen to a lot of interviews throughout, you know, the offseason, like, you know, Cohen is like named Tootin by name, like in interviews, like when asked about this backfield, he will just talk about Bashal Tootin. He seems to kind of like him. It might take a while. You might have to wait a few weeks for this to really pay off, but Tootin, if he ends up being somebody that ends up with a change of pace role in this Jaguars offense, and they really do take that next step this year, we could be talking about a weekly flex option for you, and he's just out there for free right now.
Dude, love the call. And I want to be honest here, as somebody who's not drafted a lot of Tootin at all this offseason, because I thought, you know, for a while the price was kind of expensive. It's dropped. It's in a good spot. Clearly in a good spot because he's not rostered in many leagues. To build off what you said, I believe the general manager over there, James Gladstone, said before the combine that he wanted to draft Tootin too. It's not just Cohen. I mean, there's a lot of people, the brass there, the administration, that really like this guy. And while he's a rookie and he might have to work to find himself a role, it's clear he's liked there. There's opportunity. We just talked about this with Chris Rodriguez and the Commanders, is we expect this to be a fairly good, or, you know, at least above average offense, in my opinion. And this is an ambiguous backfield. No one knows exactly what's going to happen here, so why not take shots like this? As all of a sudden he comes out, gets, you know, let's say 40-50% of the snaps, he's going to be a top waiver wire option. So like, get these guys on the bench now. These are good offenses. These are people that are barely rostered, and these are players, in my opinion, who actually have a real shot to carve something out and make us look like idiots for not drafting them in week one. So absolutely here for the Tootin call. Love it, Herms.
There you go. There you go. So we got you three names of some pretty solid running backs that are out there. Before we, you know, kind of turn it over into, you know, slightly different subject to close out the show, I wanted to just name a couple wide receivers. Not going to go as deep on some of these guys because their situations are a little bit more murky. But Marvin Mims Jr. out there in Denver toward the end of last year really started to emerge and have this kind of like secondary role. It was also very interesting that Sean Payton was willing to manufacture touches. Like, Mims got carries and stuff on top of the fact that he was being targeted. He could be kind of a fun, versatile weapon. We could see what happens with that. I don't know. And then the last name I want to mention, I know it's boring. I know people are going to hate this, but the New York Giants offense is probably going to be better with Russell Wilson at quarterback, eventually Jackson Dart. And these pass catchers, you know, besides Malik Nabers, it seems no one cares. But just in case you forgot, Wandale Robinson, I think, got like 140 targets or whatever it was last year, and he's still on the team. He's still going to be a pretty good, you know, just like short area of the field guy that they can dump it off to. I don't think that role's really going anywhere. He's, if you were at least remotely optimistic on the Giants offense, it's a free shot. It's a nice little free roll. If it doesn't work out, you're like, no harm, no foul. But like, I don't know. I think he could be interesting if he maintains anywhere close to that volume. He could regress significantly in the volume department and still see a large enough target share on a week-to-week basis to potentially matter, maybe for more deep leagues, but still matter to some degree.
Yeah, I mean, Mims I like because it's becoming increasingly clear that he has the inside track here to being the wide receiver two next to Sutton, right? And I think that's always been the biggest question. Last year, we had no idea who that was going to be, and they just rotated guys in and out. And if Mims can secure himself a legitimate role, we like this Broncos offense. I like the call. Wandale in full PPR leagues, I get the argument here, Herms, but I think if you're playing like a standard or half PPR, it's a little bit tough for me to get on board. But full PPR, absolutely here for kind of a later Wandale on the bench, especially if, you know, you've took some shots with maybe some suspended guys and you might need some early production.
There you go. Fantasy managers out there, that is your short list of players that you can look to target prior to week one, see what happens. And like, hey, dude, if they pop off, your league mates are going to be like, whoa, how did you know? How did you know? Because you listened to the Crossing Routes podcast. Now, before we get out of here, it's not just these positional players that you're going to have to do things stashing and doing things on your bench with. We also have to deal with DSTs and kickers, and not everybody, like, it's becoming a more increasingly popular strategy for people to, like, not even draft a kicker in a defense and just, like, figure it out later and do the thing. It's an interesting thing, and I'm curious, like, what sort of advice you have more within that realm for people. Like, if you haven't really thought about your kicker or your DST yet, like, what are some things that people should be looking out for?
Yeah, I'm totally cool with leaving, if you're able to leave your draft without a defense or a kicker and just drafting players in case there's some, like, injuries happening in the preseason. I think it's just smart football. I got absolutely no problem with it. I don't do it in all my leagues, but totally cool with it. The Cardinals are going to be one of the first ones that stick out to me. They're rostered in 44% of leagues right now. So over half the leagues on ESPN, the Cardinals are available. They're my number one selection right now for anybody who kind of waited on defense or is kind of, like, second guessing what. I had somebody ask me the other day, like, should I go the Packers defense or the Lions defense? I'm like, honestly, I probably wouldn't go either one of those defenses. I would probably just go get the Cardinals right now. I mean, the main reason for us, like, being on board with the Cardinals really just comes down to the fact that they have the Saints and Spencer Rattler. And I actually think the Cardinals defense is going to be better. Like, I think they're expected to be better. They made a lot of, I'd say a lot, but they made a fair amount of signings. They drafted a lot of defensive players in the draft. They really put a lot of resources into this defense. It should be good. So for me, they're going against Rattler, who I do not think is any good. The Cardinals are definitely a team that I favor. I go for late, and is a team that if I need a defense now, I'm going to go pick up. Herms, I know you'll probably like this one. You know, I'm not opposed to going down there and playing the Minnesota Vikings defense against the Bears. I think the Vikings are going to be pretty damn good this year, and I am pretty skeptical about the Bears being any good this year. So for me, the Vikings are kind of like, if you really need a defense, it's got a low total. I believe the implied total of that game is about 43.5 as of right now. So not that high, pretty low compared to the others. So I think if you're looking to grab a defense, the Cardinals are my number one look, or my Vikings are the second. And then just to kind of throw some kicker stuff out there, Will Lutz is only rostered, I believe, in about 40-ish% of leagues. He's a great play this week, the Broncos kicker. And then I would also look Jason Myers' way on the Seahawks as well. It's kind of like the preferred streaming options here at the kicker position.
Yeah, especially because, I mean, like, those two guys, these are kickers that are, you know, veteran guys that have been around. We know that they have been reliable fantasy kickers for a long time. And I think people just kind of overlook them because it's, like, boring or something. I don't know. But, like, yeah, dude, I am also a very big fan of making sure that I have Will Lutz on my team, especially because, like, dude, out in Denver, like, whenever they play home games and stuff, they're kicking out in altitude. He has, like, the added benefit of, like, getting that extra distance. That's going to translate into the box score and score you additional fantasy points potentially. So I'm definitely with you on that. I think all of that is very wise to consider. And man, I think if you just put all this together and you don't overthink your lineup decisions and you just go out there, you're going to have a good week one of the 2025 fantasy football season. So do you have any final notes you want to throw out there before we say goodbye to everybody?
I mean, Herms, let's let the folks know what we're going to be doing in season. What can they expect from Crossing Routes as we hit the season here next week, or this week, I should say.
Yeah, so coming at you every single week, the Crossing Routes podcast is going to be a place where we will recap a lot of the action that has happened the week before, kind of digest everything, look for some key fantasy takeaways, get you looking at some of the trends and different usage things that you need to be aware of to really get your competitive edge. And hey, if you kind of liked our insight for this waiver wire, we have all sorts of fun waiver wire stuff we're going to be providing you on the podcast every single week. So we'll help you. We are going to be your resource for all of that stuff in season. I am very excited for it. I'm very glad that the folks at FTN are, you know, willing to trust us, you know, to have some of these kinds of topics on our shows, because it's big stuff. And it's the stuff that can really make the difference between you winning and losing your league every single week. It's going to be a very good time, and we can't wait to get on that journey with you. So, for Tyler O, I am Herms, and hopefully everybody enjoys and wins their matchup in week one. We'll talk to you again soon. Adios! Think